Today's shiur is Masecht Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis, two lines from the bottom. Ha'ud Amalei. As we discussed in our previous shiur, if a husband writes away all of his real estate to his children, and he also gives some real estate to his wife, that represents that she was meichel, the ksuba payment, from those assets. And therefore, as we discussed, were he to be a shchimera, and he never accrues any new assets, the halacha is she won't be able to collect the ksuba. If on the other hand, he will accrue new assets, even though she was meichel, her lien on his assets that he had at the time that he did this transaction, his new assets will still be obligated to that ksuba obligation. Our Gemara refers to the following situation. Ha'uda amaluhu, somebody said to his family, he had two daughters and a wife, tilsa labras, a third of my real estate should go to one daughter, v'tilsa labras, another third of my real estate should go to a second daughter, and a third should go to my wife. So as we just described, this would be a situation where she was meichel haksuba. But what happened here was, says the Gemara, shchiv echad mibantzei, one of his daughters passed away, she had no yarshim, and therefore he became the yarish of his daughter's estate. The father is the yarish of the daughter's estate, if she has no children. And the question that the Gemara now is considering, is this a situation where that we consider the husband getting new assets? And since the husband's getting new assets, as I said earlier, those new assets would be there for the wife to collect her ksuba payment from? Or is this not considered a situation of new assets? And the Mefarshim give two reasons why we shouldn't consider this a situation that the husband received new assets that should be obligated to the ksuba. One is, the definition of new is new, something that he never had. This is not an asset that he never had. This is an asset that he had, that he gave to his daughter. That can't be considered a new asset. That's one way to Mefarshim explain the Gemara's question. Another way to Mefarshim explain the Gemara's question is, as we have been learning, when the husband goes through such a transaction, what he's essentially doing is creating a situation where the wife is mesiach das. She's not expecting to get payment from these assets, from this real estate that were given to the children. So this real estate that was given to this daughter, who unfortunately passed away, is real estate that she never expected to collect her ksuba from. And therefore, that's not considered an asset that she could ever collect the ksuba from. So says the Gemara, Savra Papa Lamein B'Lashaka Al Tosa, that since this is an asset that came to the husband, but that she is not entitled to collect only from the third that was written to her. Amalei Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana argued, no, Ilo Hadal Kani, as we have been learning, if the husband bought new assets, new real estate, we've been learning, Mila Shakla, certainly she would be entitled to collect the ksuba, her ksuba obligation from those new real estate bought. The kivan, therefore, since the halach is the ilahadakani, that if the husband were to buy new real estate, shakla, she's entitled to get a ksuba payment from that. Hashtanami, this real estate that she got, that he got from his daughter who passed away, is also considered new real estate, and she's entitled to collect the ksuba. Shakla, she's entitled to collect the ksuba fine. Another situation the Gemara discusses. Hahuda palgina l'nechsei, l'itetzei l'bnei. There was a situation where the husband was distributing his real estate to his wife and to his son. And as we have been learning, in order to create a situation where the wife gives up her claim to the ksuba, he has to give away all of his real estate. And what happened here was, Shaya Chadikla. He left over one palm tree that he didn't give to anyone. So Ravina said, fine, he left over that palm tree, and when he dies and she wants to collect her ksuba payment, so she'll collect from that palm tree. That's the only asset she could collect her ksuba payment from. Sav Ravina Mema, less la lacha tikla. She could collect her ksuba from that one palm tree. Amalei Ravim la Ravina. Is iles la, if she's not entitled to collect, then cha tikla nam iles la. Then this palm tree she shouldn't be able to collect. Elam, but that's not true. Because since he didn't give away this palm tree, she certainly has every right to collect her ksuba from this palm tree. Once we assume that, says Rav Yemer, Miga de Nachsla Dikla Nachsa Nami Lakula Nachse, which means as follows. A wife, we spoke about this concept in the previous year, doesn't like to fight with a husband. So if there's a situation that he gave away all of his real estate and she also received and she didn't make any complaint, so as we learned in the previous year, that's a clear indication that she's giving up any claim to a ksuba payment. If he left one piece of real estate, the palm tree, by leaving over that palm tree, what he's done is he's created a situation that she has no reason to say anything. Because she's a smart woman. She comes to the shir. And she knows as soon as there's assets from which to collect, as soon as she knows from which there's assets to collect, even though certainly the palm tree won't cover the entire ksuba obligation, she knows that there's no reason for her to say anything. And avada, she won't be able to collect the entire obligation from the palm tree. What she'll do is she'll get the rest from the children, what they got from the father. There's an interesting discussion in the Rishayim. When we learned Masechet Ksubas, we learned the Gemara says that a wife can only collect a ksuba payment from real estate. Which means as follows, if we think about it. You could have a person who's a very wealthy person and pass away, but all of his fortune is in cash, in metaltalin, not in real estate. The Yarshim will not be obligated to pay a wife's ksuba. Medina de Gemara. That's what the Mishnah and the Gemara say. But as we've learned many times, Baruch Hashem together, there's a takonis ga'onim that metaltalin are also used to pay for the ksuba obligation. So going back to the scenario that I just discussed, someone passed away. He left over a lot of money in the bank, even though he didn't leave over any real estate. Based on the takonis ga'onim, she could collect the ksuba from those metaltalin. So now, the Rishonim asked the following question. Once we have this takana that I just described, perhaps we've been learning the last 2 days that if the husband gives away all of the real estate and she participated, as we learned, that's a raya that she gave up on a ksuba obligation. We didn't speak about metaltalin, because metaltalin have nothing to do with a ksuba, as I just said, Medina de Gemara. But now that we have the takana sagoinim, do we say you have to take the good and the bad? And do we say that if he gave away all his metaplin and she got a share of the metaplin, that will also be a raya that she's not entitled to get a ksub anymore? So the Rishonim seem all to say that of course not. They say a number of explanations, they all go to the same point. The Ga'onim were concerned for the welfare of the women. And therefore, in the situation that I described, where you'll have a husband who will die without any real estate, she won't be able to collect the ksuba. They were worried about the women. So they said she could collect the ksuba from metaltalin also. They didn't make it a takana to make a bad for the women. They only made it a takana for the benefit of the women. And therefore, they never intended that this takana should create a situation that she should not be able to collect the ksuba if he distributed all of his metaltalin and she also got a portion. Along the same lines, very similar, she could say, I didn't accept this for my detriment, I only accepted the takanas kainim for my benefit, not for my detriment. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Shimon HaShikosav Kon Chosav Lechad, Shemira writes all of his assets to one individual. So Roy, we have to look at this individual. Im Roy Liyosh Naitim Shem Yerusha, V'mlav Naitim Shem Atana. And we, of course, couldn't learn the Gemara the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. He used an ambiguous language. And we don't know what does he mean. Does he mean a Yerusha? Does he mean a Matana? So what we say is, we look at who this individual, who the receiver is. If he's a person that could be a Yerush, we say that he got it as a Yerusha. If he's not a person that could get it as a Yerusha, then we say he got it as a gift. And we'll soon see what the Nafkamina is. Amalei Rav Nachman. So when Rav Nachman heard Rav Huna say this, he said to him, G'nuvi gan v'lamalach. Why don't you say explicitly what you hold? Isfirlach, Rav Yochanan Breika. It's clear that the psak that you gave is based on Rav Yochanan Breika's opinion. And therefore you ought to say, halacha, Rav Yochanan Breika. That the halacha follows Rav Yochanan Breika. The shmatzach, the halacha you just said, follows Rav Yochanan Breika dozlo, follows Rav Yochanan Breika's opinion, which means as follows. We've learned the machlaikas of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan Breika. Rabbanan told that the Torah, we learned earlier in our parak, gives us the line of succession, how the Yerusha should be divided. The Torah is very specific. You can't change that division in any way. Rabbi Yochanan Breika, as we learned, says as long as you're within the Yarshim, so let's say there are a few sons, no Bechor, that there, Rabbi Yochanan Breika holds, if you give one son more, one son less, but you're within the family of the Yarshim, it's fine. What happened over here? He went and he wrote over everything to one of the people. The Gemara says, if the person that he wrote to is a Yairish, it works for Tyrus Yerusha, which means that he's getting the entire portion as a Yerusha, to the exclusion of the other Yarshim. That's exactly Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika's opinion. So Rav Nachman is challenging Rav Huna. Your whole opinion is based on Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. So say that you hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. So Rav Nachman, in order to try to defend Rav Huna, said to him, Dilma ki kahamrit, maybe what you meant to say was something else. The Hudav Koshachiv, there was a person that was about to pass away. And Varmalei, and the people who were there asked him, Nich Seleman, they spoke to him in third person. They didn't want to ask him straight. Dimla Planya, who will be your Yairish, perhaps that individual? Vamlo Elaman, if not him, who else? Vamrit Lanala, and you, Rav Huna, said regarding that case, Imroi Yarshai, if that individual who was identified is a person who could be a Yairish, Noitlam Shem Yerusha, he gets what he got as a Yairish. Mimla, but if he's not a person who could be a Yairish, Noikla Mishra Matana. He gets it as a Matana. And what we're learning here is that even though he didn't expressly identify him, he's still considered a Yairish. Amalai, in. Hakamina. That's exactly what I meant. I didn't mean to pass it like Rabbi Yochanan Breika, even though I do pass it like Rabbi Yochanan Breika. What I meant to say is that even if he wasn't expressly identified as the receiver, he's considered the person that receives it, and if he's a Yairish, he gets it as a Yairish. But the entire basis of the piece of Gemara that we're learning now evolves around there being a difference between a Yairish and a Matana. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the difference? What's the halachic nafkamina? And in fact, nice chazara, we're going to say a vart now. The Mefarshim asks, there's a big nafkamina. We discussed earlier in our perek, Yerusha you could give even a Dovish Labalaylam, something that doesn't exist. Matana you could only give what exists. So what does the Gemara say? That's the difference between Yerusha and Matana. So the Pnei Shloime asks this question, and the Pnei Shloime answers is a very big nafkamina. The Gemara doesn't want to give that nafkamina. Because the Gemara doesn't want to speak about a situation where the Yerusha is a Yerusha and the Matana is not a Matana. The Gemara wants to speak about a situation where the Matana is a Matana and the Yerusha is a Yerusha. And where is there a difference? So he says, I'll tell you where the difference is. My Hilchotza, Sarav Adabar Hava Kamed Rav Lameima, Imroi Liyarshai, if the person gets it as a Yerusha, Amon and the Zoinis Menechosov, the halacha is that the Ksuba says that until the wife, if her husband passes away, until the wife comes and asks for the Ksuba payout, the estate has to support her. But it's only if they got the money as Yarshim. Vimlav and Amonos and the Zoinis Menechosov. which teaches us a tremendous halacha l'maisa. If somebody writes a will, a halachic will, and we're going to discuss on the days if and how it should be done. Somebody writes a halachic will, and the basis of a halachic will is that the money is being given away as a gift. So all the people that get money from that estate didn't get it as yarshim, they get it as a gift. The halacha is they will not have to support the amana of the father who passed away. Because only yarshim have to support, but not somebody who receives it as a matana. Amalei Rava, Migra Gara, it doesn't make sense. Because what case are we speaking about? How was this matana given? It wasn't given in the classical form of a matana, but it was a kenyan. There the halach would be, as I just said, that if somebody gives away all of his assets as a matana, it's a way of avoiding supporting an almana. I'm not condoning it. I'm talking about the halach is. What happened over here? How did he give it away? As I've been describing the entire shiur, he gave it away as a shchimera. And there's a special din that we've discussed numerous times, the divrei shchimera k'ksuvim k'mesurim dami, that even though there was no kinyan, it's effective. Says the Gemara, and we'll read it inside in a moment. When Chazal created this new halacha of divrei shchimera k'ksuvim k'mesurim dami, their goal wasn't to hurt the almanas. And their goal wasn't to say that if somebody gets the money as a yairish, he'll have to support his father's widow. But if he gets it as a divrei shchimera, he won't. That can't be. Migra Gara. Hash to be Rusha Daraisa. If the person received the money because he's a Yerush Daraisa, still, Amrit the Halach is Amonon is on his B'machasov, B'matana D'Rabbanon. If somebody got it as a Matana D'Rabbanon, like Kalshkeng, so that can't be the difference between Yerush and Matana. And therefore, the Gemara is now teaching us that if somebody gives away his assets as a gift, as a Shchimera, she will be able to collect from them. Only if they were not given away as a Shchimera. So we're back to where we started. What is the nafkamina between a Yarush and a Matana? Says the Gemara, Ela Merova, Kedishalach Rav Achba, Rav Avya, Lediv Rav Yochman Broika, a Gemara that we learned early in the week, Nichselach. If somebody leaves the following Tzavah, all of my estate should go to you, but when you pass away, it shouldn't go to your Yarshim, but rather, Vachrecha, after you pass away, it should go to Pliny. Says the Gemara, Im ha-yiroi rishon roi l'yarshay. If the first person that was receiving this estate was a Yairish, the halacha is ein l'sheni b'makom rishon klum. The second person will never get it. She'ein is a losh matana. We don't assume that he meant to give it as a gift. He meant to give it as a Yerusha, since the person receiving it is a Yairish. As we learned the coin of Yachman Breika, as long as the person receiving it is a Yairish, he could get it, even though he'll get a bigger shir than he ought to. And there's a new din, Yerusha Ein Lei Hefsek. Somebody that receives something as a Yerusha Ein Lei Hefsek, that remains with his family forever. And the Rishayim explains, the Rashbam explains, why is the halacha the Yerusha Ein Lei Hefsek? He says, because Yerusha, we have a concept that we discussed at the beginning of the parak of Mishmash, that you always find a relative. That's the same concept that Yerusha always stays within the family. We also explained earlier the reason that Yerusha Ein Lei Hefsek is because once it's a Yerusha, we lose control. The Torah takes over. The Torah says that it stays within this family. In fact, I saw a very nice part, which says, the Gemara says, Kol ma'anik as a Shabbos, noisn lo nachla b'li mitzarim. So the Mefarshim asks, if the Gemara wants to tell us the tremendous reward somebody gets for being Shem Shabbos, why does the Gemara use the words noisn lo nachla b'li mitzarim? But now we just learned the greatness of getting something as a Yerusha, Ein Lei Hefsek. So when the Gemara wants to tell us what a great schar you'll get for being Shem Shabbos, noisn lo nachla b'li mitzarim, it'll be like a Yerusha. And what is the characteristic of Yerusha? B'lim etzarim, ein lei hefsek. That tzcha will remain forever. Amalei, Rav Nachman, va'afsika. The person gave clear instructions that after the first person passes away, the money should not go to the first person's yarshim, they should go to the second person. How, says the Gemara, who suffer? Rav that asked this question, ask the question because he assumes that Yerusha Yeshla have sick, that you could manipulate that. But the halacha is Rechmana Amma and Lay have sick, and therefore if the first person is a Yairish, that money remains by that person forever. Says the Gemara, such a situation. There was somebody said to someone else, my estate should go to you, and after you pass away, it should go to someone else. The Rishon royally Yarshay, and the first person was a person who could have been a Yairish. Have a shach of Rishon, when the first person passed away, also shani katava. So the second person knew that the person who said that when the first person dies, the money goes to me. So he came to pick up the money. So Rav Ilish kamei derav lemeim. So Rav Ilish assumed that indeed sham kilna shani namishakul, that the second person should pick up his money, as was the original instruction. Amalei, so he told him, Daini de chatzatzta hachi daini. Daini de chatzatzta are dayonim who pask it improperly. Rav said this to Rav Ilish, that you're paskening improperly. What does the daini de chatzatzta mean? So Rashbam explains as follows. Chatzatzta is from the word chatzi, half. When you have a daini who's a Talmud Chacham, he knows what to do. The money belongs to one litigant or belongs to the other litigant. What is a dayan who doesn't know what to do? He goes 50-50, chatzatzta. He divides the money 50-50. He's saying, your psak is an incorrect psak. You're a dayan of the chatzatzta. You're like the dayanim that just cut because they don't know what to do, so they just make compromises. Another pshat, a little sharper pshat that the Rishonim suggests, chatzatzta means the basic kvaros. You are a dayan that belongs in the basic kvaros, because you don't know how to pask in a shayla, and you're pasking in a shayla. Lav hanid the sholach Rav Achab Rei D'Ravya. Isn't that what we just learned? That if the first person who received the money is a Yairish, the halacha is Yairish Yerusha in Lehefsik, and the second person can never get that state? So Rav Ilish realized that he made an error. And Karelei Ani Hashem B'Itach Hashanah. And here too there's a number of pshatim. The Rishbam says as follows, that what he meant was, he started thinking to himself, this is terrible. I almost made a wrong psak. I almost made a terrible mistake. So Rav said, don't worry, Ani Hashem B'Itach Hashanah. That I was here and now told you that you made a mistake, there's no coincidence. Min HaShemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me to be here and now and prevent you from making a mistake. Ani Hashem B'Itach Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the right time, and he knew now's the right time for me to be here to tell you that you made a mistake. And in fact, the Chassam Sofer says, now the Gemara Masechet Brachos says that Rabbi Chunya ben Akana composed a tefillah that's supposed to be said every day before you start learning. There are a lot of people that say the tefillah. And one of the phrases in that tefillah, says the Chassam Sofer, is Shlai Kosho B'Dvar Halacha Yismuchu B'Chaveirai. Says the Chassam Sofer, it means this. We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shlai Kosho B'Dvar Halacha, I shouldn't make a mistake, that my friends will have to come correct me. I should never come to such a situation like Rav Ilish came, there Rav had to correct him. And the Farshan goes a step further. This is the pasuk that's used regarding Mashiach. Just like there's the right time for everything, Ani Hashem B'Itach Hashanah, there's a right time that Mashiach will have to come because we won't be able to survive Golus anymore. There's another pshat in the Mefarshim in this Gemara, a whole different pshat. Because Mefarshim actually are troubled. Because here, the way we explained the Gemara, now we showed him, Rashbam and others explained the Gemara, the basis of the Gemara was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a situation that he should not make a mistake. Because Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala ayidei tzedikim. But many Rishonim explain that this concept of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala ayidei tzedikim is only by macholos asurus, when it comes to food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that tzaddik should not allow anybody to eat non-kosher food, that he shouldn't eat non-kosher food. Here we're not talking about food. So they explained the Gemara that Rav was telling Rav Ilish that Talmid Chachamim, when they're of the right age, never make mistakes. What is the right age? When you're 40 or over. But when you're under 40, you're anyway young and you make mistakes and people expect you to make mistakes. So you made a mistake, don't feel bad, you're young. And young people, that's what it is with young people, they make mistakes. Says the Mishnah. Hakayis v'snachas v'lacherim. So our Mishnah begins to discuss a very fundamental issue. Somebody who doesn't want to follow the Hilchas Yerusha as we have set forth, as the Gemara and Mishnah that we've learned has set forth. What is the rule? So says the Mishnah, Hakayis v'snachas v'lacherim. If somebody writes his assets to somebody else, v'niach es banav, and he didn't give his children, masha osi osi, what he did is fine, el ein ruach hacham noichim menam. I saw none pshat from Eruch HaKam and Noich Menah. Post pshat is Chazal frown upon such an act. Another pshat is, Eruch HaKam and Noich Menah is when he's not following the Torah way. And if you don't follow the Torah way, you bring problems to the world. Another pshat, interesting pshat, is let's say somebody wants to write a will this way that violates what the Torah says. And they want to use you as a lawyer. They want to use you as an aide, as a witness to sign. And Ruach HaKam Nachem, and you should refuse. You can't be part of this. Shimon Gamliel Aimer, Im Loi Hayin Ben Nav Noigin Kishura, if his children weren't acting as they ought to, Zoch L'Toiv, it's acceptable. So ask the Gemara immediately. Ibai Luhu, Mi Pligi Rabban Alei Rav Shimon Gamliel Aloi. Is there this machlokes between Rabban and Shimon Gamliel or not? Would Rabban agree that if somebody's children weren't acting appropriately, the deed didn't ought to be that he could maneuver the Yerusha. Tashma. The Yais ben Yazar. Yais ben Yazar ha'ilei ben shloi ha'inoi kishura. He had a son that wasn't acting properly. Havlei ilsa de dinri. Even though Pashup Shad ilsa means an attic, Taisa says it can't mean that here. It means he had a purse full of golden coins. But since his son wasn't acting appropriately, so instead of leaving it for his son, as a Yerusha, come Agdisha. He went and he was Magdish and he gave it to Hegdish. Ozel, the son, then went. Nosef, Godel, clearly the Yan and the Malka. He married the daughter of the jeweler of the king's crown, of Yanai Hamelech's jeweler. Elida the Visa, and his wife had a baby. And Zavon Labin Nisa. He bought a fish. She should have a good meal. Kara, he opens up the fish. Ashkecha bar Megalisa. He found a beautiful jewel in that fish. Amrloi, so he had a very smart wife. And his wife told him as follows. Loitamti l'malkam. In other words, the question was, what am I going to do with this jewel? This is not the kind of jewel that a regular person needs. So he thought, he'll take it to the king. The king could use such a jewel. So she said, don't go there. The shaklim minach b'demei klili. I know my father's the jeweler by the king, and they're going to cheat you. They're going to undervalue the value of this jewel. Zil amtle gabigas berry. Go take it to Hegdish. And the Rishonim point out that why does Hegdish need it? Because Hegdish needed for the Urim v'Tumim, for the jewels that were on the Urim v'Tumim. And the Rishonim point out that even though this episode took place in the time of Yanai HaMelech, by the Bayis Sheni, where the Urim v'Tumim were no longer in use, but the big dekuna is still there. And the big dekuna required a jewel. So they need this jewel. But she also told him, listen what happens when you have a smart wife. She gives you good advice. Don't you assess its value. Because there's a special din of amirasa l'gavoya ki misirasa l'hegyet. As soon as you value it, and you say that this is the value that you owe, that it's value to Hegdish, you can't back off. And Rishonim explain why. Number of pshatim to Rishonim. One pshat is, the Pasuk says, regarding Hegdish, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem. As soon as you say something Shemayim, it's Lashem. Another pshat, Ish ki Yagdish is Beisoi Kodesh. So the Chassan Sofer explains, the Pasuk has an extra word, Ish ki Yagdish Beisoi Kodesh. We know you're making your house Kodesh. Why does the Pasuk use the extra word Kodesh? Teach us, ish ki yagdish, as soon as you magdish, kodesh, it's automatically kodesh. Another pshat is that it's a neder. And a neder for hegdish has a special rule that as soon as you articulate it, it becomes hegdish. There's a nafkamina between these pshatim. One is, will this din apply by goyim? We know that goyim can be magdish. If we say it's a special din of ish ki yagdish, it's only by Jews. If it's a din of hegdish, Hegdish applies by Goyim. Another question, will a Kinyan be required? Or is it Kaddish without a Kinyan immediately too? The Paiskim discussed that perhaps this thing applies by Tztaka. That as soon, we've discussed this issue, let's say somebody says that he's going to give something for Tztaka, he's going to give a donation to Tztaka, as soon as he says that, Kaddish it, he can't go back. It's like a nether and has all the dinim of a nether. I saw a very nice part. The Pasuk says regarding Avram Avinu, Vehemen Bahashem Yachshveh Loi Tztaka. Tztaka, we said, is a miras l'gvayk misras l'hedyet. Vehemen Bahashem, as soon as Avram Avinu had a moon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was such a powerful statement, Yachshveh Tztaka. It right away is considered like he gave Tztaka and he automatically got Tzchah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So she tells him, you don't say anything. El Lashaymi Inu. Let the administrator of the Hegdish evaluate it. Amte, so he took it to them. Shamu betlasi lost the dinri. And they evaluated it that it was worth 13 purses of gold coins. Amalei, but Hegdish told him, in those days already Hegdish didn't have enough money. Sheva Ikka, 7 purses we have, Shitleka. But we don't have 13, we're missing 6. Amalehu, so he said, you know what? Sheva Havli. The 7 you have, give me. Shit, the remaining 6, Harei Mugdosh Lashmaim, I'm giving it as a donation. Omdu V'kosfu, so they wrote the following. Yosef ben Yezer, Hichnes Achas, his father gave a donation of 1 purse of gold coins, Ubnai Hichnes Shesh, and his son gave a donation of 6 purses. There's a Machlok Shishanim, how to understand this Gemara. Some Shishanim explained that they kept an accounting system. They kept an accounting system there. Other Rishonim explain as follows. There are other Rishonim that explain this is the basis for the famous Tshuvas HaRajba. The Rajba says, "Mefarsimim oisa mitzvah." We publicize somebody who gives tzedakah. And where's the Raya? This Gemara. This person gave 6 purses of gold to the Hegdish, and they gave him a plaque. They put down a big plaque. This person donated the money for tzedakah. Ikadamri, Yosef ben Yezer Hichnes Achas. Yosef ben Yezer gave 1 purse of gold coins. Ubnai Haitzi Sheva. And his son took 7 purses. So there are really 2 versions in the Gemara of the exact same episode. One version has him giving tztaka, and one version has the money that he took out. And the Gemara says, Midakamri Hichnes. The first version has the son doing a good thing. That he's donating 7 purses to Tztaka. Michlau, the shapar of it. That means the father must have done the right thing. The father disinherited the son. And by disinheriting his son, it got his son to think, am I acting properly? I'm not acting properly. My father disinherited me. And that ultimately brought him to be a person that gave Tztaka. That he gave 6 purses. So that means the father did the right thing. Says Umar Adarabba. Let's look at the other version. Midam Hoitzi Mechlal the last shop Ravid. The Gemara speaks about him in this version disparagingly. It says he took everything that Hegdish had. Hegdish had 7 purses of gold, he took 7. He didn't do the right thing. Don't you leave something with Hegdish? You're emptying him out that you don't leave a penny with Hegdish? How did he come to act inappropriately? Because his father disinherited him. And once his father disinherited him, he went on to act inappropriately. We can't know if it's right or wrong for father to disinherit a son that acts inappropriately. So what is the halacha? Toshma. Damle Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shinana. Throughout Shas we find Shmuel calling Rav Yehuda Shinana. Some say he had large teeth. Shinana is from the word shinayim. Others say Shinana, he was very sharp in his learning. Vishinantam levanecha. Damle Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinana. Loitaheva. Never participate be'evurech santa when a Yerusha is being transferred. V'afil me'brabish le'baratava. When a father takes away a Yerusha, even if he's taking it away from a son that's acting inappropriately and giving it to a son that's acting appropriately, the kashkan is certainly not in a situation me'bra, as we've learned that only sons are supposed to be Yerushim when his father takes away from a son to a daughter. Me'bra le'barata. Why shouldn't you participate? Explain the Rishonim, when the father takes away from a son that's acting inappropriately to a son that's acting properly. So the Rishonim explained, because we don't know what's going to be in the next generation, in the future generations. Maybe in this generation we see this son acting not the right way, and the other son acting the right way, but the grandchildren, it could be just the opposite. That the son that doesn't act so great will have great children, and the other one may not. We don't know what's going to be. And therefore, you should follow what the Torah says. So as we learn this Gemara, obviously the question comes up, many people write wills. Again, we've spoken earlier about a halachic will, which means that the will is written not as Yerusha, because if you write it as Yerusha, you can't change what the rules of the Torah are. But the way you write it is that it's written as a gift, that it should be effective a moment before the person dies. Matani, we learned even the Rabbanan hold, certainly Rabbi Yochanan Breuk will hold, you could give as you please. But the question is, based on our Gemara, is this acceptable? So there are many opinions and many different issues discussed by the Paiskim, just to mention some. Interesting, the Maram Shik says that even though our Gemara says that you should give all your children, even the children that don't act properly, if somebody, Rachman Litzlan, has a son who's an apikairis, then him you could disinherit. The Paiskim also want to draw a distinction, just again to help understand people who want to write wills but do want to follow what the Mishnah and the Gemara is teaching us, what could they do? There are Paiskim that want to draw a distinction between a shchimira, somebody who's writing a will right before he's about to pass away, or a young person writing a will and wants to divide up his estate because of different concerns and considerations that could come up. Paiskim also draw a distinction between metaltalin and karka. Karka, as we've learned in our shiur today, is considered much more somebody's assets. And by karka, the Paiskim want to suggest you should follow the Hilchos Yerusha and maybe a little more lenient on metaltalin. Paiskim also discuss that if a substantial amount, and this is the Chasam Sofer and the Marsham discuss this, that if a substantial amount of the estate, the will says, should be divided as the Torah says, and then the rest of the estate, the father or whoever says, should be divided equally amongst all his children or whatever he wants, that's not considered avoiding Hilchos Yerusha, because you left a significant amount that you're following Hilchos Yerusha on. What is considered a significant amount? It seems the Paiskim would say you have to look at the status, you have to look at the time, and the place, most of all the person, how much money he's leaving over. Another psak that the Paiskim would say, comes up very often, is what happens if somebody writes money to tzedakah? Somebody writes money to tzedakah, so his yarshim are losing that money. What is the rule? So I saw again many different opinions in the Paiskim. Some Paiskim say that up to 20% should be written for tzedakah, similar to the Gemara that we've quoted many times, Hamavazbis, Ayivazbis, Yosef Mechaymish. Others say that up to 50%, and there'll be actually episodes that the Gemara will quote, where people gave 50% of their estate to tzedakah. The Paiskim say, again, we have to look at the circumstances, meaning as follows, the Paiskim say. If you're going to have somebody who's going to write away a big amount of money to tzedakah, and he's not a wealthy person, and his children aren't wealthy, and by him writing all of this away, his children will end up living off tzedakah or not having enough to live on, that's not called tzedakah, and that's not appropriate. The Paiskim also say, interesting psak, but there are strong sources for this psak in Masechet Ksubos. Let's say someone has daughters, single girls, and we know that to marry off a daughter, money is required to make the wedding, to give a dowry, and the father writes into the ksuba, writes into the will, that he wants that money set aside before the Yerusha is divided for his daughters to have the ability to properly get married. That's not considered violating what Al Gemara said, because that's part of the father's obligation to help marry off his daughters. Again, Paiskim also suggests that even though Al Gemara says that you have to follow the Hilchos Yerusha, Hilchos Bechaira is easier than Hilchos Yerusha. And even though we've learned that a Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim, Al Gemara is not talking about Bechor. Al Gemara is talking about Yerusha. And it could be that if a father specifically writes, again, if it's done halachically, in the halachically proper way, that it should be divided equally, or daughters, and that the son shouldn't get Pishnayim, that wouldn't be a violation of Al Gemara. just to end the shir, the Mefarshim asks that we know that Avraham Avinu violated this Gemara. Because the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu gave all of his estate to Yitzchak. Avraham had Esav as a son. And Avraham, not Esav, had Yishmael, I'm sorry, as a son. And Avraham had the B'nai Palakshim. The Pasuk says the B'nai HaPalakshim Sholach. He sent them away. Our Gemara is so strict how you have to follow the Hilchos Yerusha. So I saw that the Mefarshim answer a number of truths. One teretz is, all of the other children Avraham had were all born before Avraham was Megayer. And the halacha is, Gershon is Gayer, Kekatan Shinoi L'dami. So Avraham didn't really have any relationship with those children other than with Yitzchak. So there's no Hilchos Gerus. Avram's Gerus was only by the Mila. The B'nai Palakshim were all before the Mila. It was all before the Mila. Mila's part of the Gerus. That's one pshat. Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggests, since they were B'nai Palakshim, Yishmael was B'nai Nevashivcha, they're not really considered Avram's children halakhically. So there is no Hilchos Yerusha to someone who's not their children. Chassam Sofer says a very interesting teretz. Chassam Sofer says, "Kol asha oimalech." The pasuk says, "Kol asha oimalech toimalech asara shma b'koyla." What does that mean? So Rashi says that Sarah is in a very high level, high degree of nevuah. Most Sarah's high degree of nevuah. She knew that nothing good will ever come out of Yishmael and out of these Pnei Palakshim. What did we explain as the reason that you should not manipulate the Yerusha? Because maybe the son, who you think what good is going to come out of him, will end up having a son, a daughter, who will be a great person. But Sarah was a great level of Nevuah, and she knew nothing good will come out of Yishmael and the Bnei Palakshim. Shema B'Koyla. Once she said him, you could take the Yerusha away from him.